all of us here today have something going on in our lives, you know? And it's things that we must turn over to God and allow Him to move and to handle it for us. Myself included, I've got to step out of the way. Trust Him, turn it over to Him, and go forth into what we are to do for the kingdom. Amen. And today I want to look at Colossians again. I kept looking like, okay, where, Lord, oh, where do we go? And I want to look in Colossians. We're going to go in Colossians 2. And it's this. If you have received Christ, how many here have received Christ? Walk like it. Walk like it. If you've received Him, walk like it. Let your life show it around you. Amen. Myself is what I'm talking to. Me. I'm talking to Tim about this. Tim, if you've received Christ, yes. Well, walk like it, okay, Tim? Yes, sir. And we learn. So, Colossians, I'm going to start in chapter 2, just at the very beginning of 2. Colossians 2, for I want you to know, Paul is sharing this, for I want you to know what a great conflict. Well, he's saying, I got a struggle. I'm going through a great struggle I have for you and those in Laodicea. Well, now, if you want to go there, visit that church in Revelations. Is that the one where he's going to spit them out because they're lukewarm or something, I think? Was that the one, John? Spew. Go there, my friend. One of these days, we're probably going to get there. We're almost there in our Thursday Bible study. You know, it's like, ooh, I know I got one or two that want to, they're ready to get into Revelations, and we're kind of working our way there. So last Thursday, we stopped into where we're going to start up next Thursday in Matthew, into where it's the woes. We're going to visit those because it's woe to those, you know, the churches and the church and the people. But we got to pay attention. I want to hear God's blessings, okay? And I want to hear His encouraging word for me. How many here want to hear those? I give it all day, Lord. Bring it on. But I also know that I need to pay attention to His woes. And the things that He's telling us to be careful of, be cautious of, be watchful of, and know where you're at in those things. So, anyway, that's on Thursdays, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock till 12. Sometimes we go till 12. Sometimes it's 11:30, whatever. But we've been having some powerful times in Thursday Bible study at 10. But anyway, as we get into this, we need to walk like how we've received Christ. So it says, I have for you and those in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. You know, in our churches today, and out in society of today, there's misunderstandings of the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father, and different ways that people look at that. As we look at this word of understanding, though, it says attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery. Understanding, a quickness of putting together, a quickness of like that of apprehension or apprehending it. If I looked at this understanding, it could be also intelligently assessing. So Paul is sharing here all of that possibility of the full assurance of intelligently assessing the knowledge of the mystery of God and both of the Father and of Christ. In verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want knowledge? Yes. You want wisdom? Yes. Go to the source. Amen. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I've got people that tell me persuasive words. I don't even know what they mean sometimes. And I persuade like, sounds big, must be right. You know, but it might be wrong too. Verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, This is Paul sharing this, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul had a heart for the people, didn't he? He had a heart in the beginning of Saul. He wanted to kill him. But in the end, when he got turned on to Christ and when God got a hold of him, he had a hunger for them to understand and to bring them to that relationship. And then once he taught them, he wanted them to remain there. And even though he had come and go and teach and share and they would pick up and learn from him, it wasn't long he would leave a particular vicinity or a town. And if he was gone 3, 4, 6 months, a year, sometimes bad stuff came back in and he'd hear it and he'd go back and, "I've told you this, what's going on?" You know, and it's for us today that guard yourself on the things that can come across your path. Guard yourself on what you may hear on TV or even read in a book or something that even looks like it pertains to that of the kingdom of God and the things of God and the things of Christ. And make sure that it is truly speaking of that. Amen? You got to be careful. "I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Doing what? "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware," verse 8, "lest anyone cheat you or plunder you or take you captive. Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to what? The traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." We've got a lot of people out there, we want to speak the principles of the world. We want to bring the world principles and the world's understandings and the world's ways. Guess where? Into the church. That's right. That's the enemy wanting to do that. He wants to bring these things of the world into God's church, us, the church, the corporate body here, individually, whatever it may be. But that's the enemy wanting to do that, and they're succeeding pretty well. There's a lot of worldly things have been brought into our churches. Amen. Well, I don't want to say, well, amen is amen, that's right, but I don't want to amen that. I don't know. What do I say, Lord? Don't do that! "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Why is that? Verse 9, "For in him," Christ, "dwells" what? "The fullness of the Godhead." Bodily. "And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. For in him dwells all the fullness," all the talks about, "of the Godhead bodily," a bodily form. And I like this, "and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power." Principalities and powers, that's rule and authority. I'm ruled under rule and authority of the things that I live in as a nation and the country that I am what, a citizen of. I do have to obey those laws and the things that have come down. But ultimately, what I am obeying is the order of the principles of the world of the God's kingdom, really. You know, let's just get down to that. It's God's kingdom. I'm in God's kingdom, but I'm living in this world where I'm at, and I'll obey the laws. But I'm going to tell you, I got to obey his laws above their laws when it comes time to divide it out here. And that's the thing that in his word he tells us, that you follow what your laws and what your land that you live in, you follow their laws and statutes and things like that, unless it does what? It contradicts his. And where we find a lot of that, and it's going to capture a lot of that, I believe, is in the morality and in life and male and female and the moralities and how the order of things were set up by that of God. And so that's where, you know, when we get into situations like this, elections and things like that, just give me like 2 or 3 points of view of each one of these people and where they stand, and I don't need to go down through the rest of the litany of tests. I compare it to the kingdom's authority and the kingdom's ways of what God says. I can care less about my retirement. I can care less about my health. care. I can care less about all of these things because my God is my provider. He will work through worldly systems to get me blessed or to take care of me through the finances of the worldly ways, and God will provide those finances to me. But I'm not going to vote for somebody here that says I can lower your taxes. I'm not going to vote for somebody that says I can give you more in retirement. That's just man. We found it in this video. Back in the 1800s, it went to the Supreme Court that they were viably in their land. They were okay. Leave them as they are. They're a nation. Supreme Court says they're fine. Can't do anything about it. If we get somebody on the other side, even back then, Andrew Jackson, even though the Supreme Court said that, he says, I don't care. We're going to do it anyway. Doesn't that, I hear that back then, and it's like, John, your message way back when you first started, like, there's nothing new under the sun. In God's word, nothing is new under God's word and under the sun. We look at man, there's nothing new on how man does things, how man perverts things, how man gets the legal background of things legally as what we as a nation were founded on, to follow the laws and the rulings of Supreme Courts and these justices that we put in there to help us do these things. And when they make these rulings and somebody in an executive branch doesn't mind, they don't care, they make a ruling with a pin, an executive order. I don't care. And we've even had them now as bold to say, I know what I'm doing is illegal, but it's going to take a while to go through the courts, and at least I'll have 2 months of this or 3 months or 6 months for this to take place. When you hear that in today's verbiage, it just tells you, pray. Pray what these people are doing. They're crazy people, man. They're just, their mind has been destroyed, has been taken over. Man. So, two or three things, and then I'm done. I can vote whatever, and I've done my best. Praise God, but we got that coming up. But as we look at this, what do? I use the principalities, or not the principalities, well, some of that, as far as when it's talking about that, talking of rule and authority, what God's rule and authority is, but I want to follow what his direction is. So, that's reading Colossians 2 through 10. And I took that snapshot of Colossians 2, 6, 7. In the New Century, it says this in Colossians 6 through 7, chapter 2. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in him. Keep your roots deep in him and have your lives built on him. Be strong in the faith just as you were taught. And always be thankful. That's in the importance of being taught. That's why it's important to come to services. That's why it's important to come to Bible studies. That's why it's important to come to school, Sunday school, whatever the case might be out there. As we go through God's word and we read it and we discuss it and we follow it, and you know, when we've got a table of people and we open up scriptures and they start, you know, they're led by into another book that's similar to what the verse we just read, or they go from this to that, and we're going through it and we're being taught the word of God. And it's to help us in times like today, and it's going to help us in the times of, guess what, tomorrow. Our tomorrows out there are coming. And we got to be learned up, taught, man, be ready. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught. Amplified, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Walk in. Be in union with him. Reflecting his character in the things that you do, the things that we say. Living lives that lead others away from sin. Well, if we lead them away from sin, this is the Amplified amplifying out this, as we lead them away from sin, where are we going to lead them to? Christ. And that's what they need in their life. We all need Christ in our life. We here today have Christ in our life. We need him. Now, the next part of our journey is to be more like him, to continue to be taught of him, to continue to give ourselves more to him, to allow him to move mightily within us, to have the Holy Spirit direct us and lead us and teach us and guide us and guard our thoughts, amen, and to tell us when craziness is out there. I thought anybody that has any amount of sense could see the craziness out there, but when craziness speaks in the news and people go, oh, that's good, that's okay. And it's like, do you really think that? Every time if you think the world knows what's going on or the people in America, just watch some of the news sometimes. And they're just oblivious to it. My goodness. And they write articles into the letters to the paper, I read both sides, and it's like, are we on the same planet? Am I in the same state? Well, I think my state of mind and their state of mind is not the same. I shake my head. It's like, oh my gosh. Reflecting his character in the things that you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Verse 7, Amplified says, having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him, and we become more, increasingly more established in him by our faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. You can never get enough learning of that of God. Just when you think you know something and you got that covered, if the Spirit takes you in that same direction again on a verse or a chapter and you read it and you go, oh my goodness, this is a little different than what I just thought, you know, 3 weeks ago, 5 years ago, whatever the case might be. That's exciting, because what's happening is the Holy Spirit in us, and this Bible is like that of an onion, and as we go through it day after day, reading sometimes the same thing, we're just peeling a layer off of that verse or off of that scripture or off of that particular story or whatever is being told to us. And then something else sticks out and goes, wow, that is mind-blowing. You just peeled another layer off of that onion. You go back and read it 3 weeks later. Oh, wow, another. That's what's so exciting about God's Word. It's like, it's living. It's like, now, you know, you can read storybooks and stuff, and it's still the same thing. I can go back, if I pulled out I love my grandkids, they're all on these books now, but they ask me what kind of books I had when I was growing up in elementary. I'd say I had books that were really deep. See, Spot, Run. Dick and Jane are playing, you know, on the swing or whatever. It's very simple. That was back in the simple times of life. I don't know. Now their books are what? I don't know. It's just like, whatever happened to Spot, you know? Whatever happened to that dog? Oh, God bless him. You know, it was used to bring all of us up, and I think looking around, you guys look pretty good. I think you've succeeded in life, you know? You try to tell that to teachers today, it's, oh, no, they've got to have this now. It's like, wow. My formulating years of school were grounded in kindergarten with nap, cookies, and juice. Then when it really got tough, they taught me how to put square pegs in square holes. Once I got that mastered, life was good. I could go through and be anything now, you know? And I want to tell you, sometimes listen to the news today. If news and the things going on were like triangles and rectangles and squares and octagons, there'd be people out there with an octagon trying to put it through a triangle space and say, that's okay, it'll fit. Anyway, Father, we get off. I want to touch just really briefly in New Living. I like this. I'm not going to read it all, but in verse 7 in New Living, it says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your roots grow down into Christ. Because we know whatever the root of a tree or the flower or the plant goes growing into the earth, it's growing in to get what? Nutrients. It's growing down into the dirt and the nutrients to survive, to grow, to bloom. You know, really, the wonderful thing of a flower, when you look at it, we look at it and it's like, oh, it's so pretty. Look at the color and the petals and, oh, it's so fragrant. We see all that. But if it wasn't for where the roots were at and what the roots were digging out of the earth, supplying that up to that, that flower would not be the color it is, would not have the fragrance, wouldn't have the appearance. So what we see is the benefit of it drawing its roots deep into the ground. We as Christians, we need to draw and put our root deeper into Christ. You can never have your root deep enough into Christ. You agree? And what we see, the deeper our root is, and we're pulling the nutrients of Christ into our life, we're seeing God's Word envelop our life, we want it to come out in our life, people are looking at us, and they're seeing they're seeing you as a tulip, a sunflower, you know, a dandelion. hey, dandelions are okay. You know, they're pretty. They're useful. Everything has a reason and a purpose. But we always get to see the benefit of the after effect of what they were put in. But let your roots grow down into him, and then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and that you will overflow with thanksgiving. So as we look at this, we're finding in this, in what Paul is sharing, where the heretics, through devious methods, promise progressive spirituality in which Christ is denoted and the basics of Christianity is denied, Paul summons the Colossians back to Christ in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Progress in faith consists of deepening, not discarding, the basic truths about Christ. What false teachers call enlightened, liberating Christianity, Paul terms basic principles of the world. So that's where we've got to watch. I tell you, any time I hear the word progressive, run. Progressive in this. We're a progressive this. We're progressive. Some of that doesn't set well with me, because progressive means I think you're changing and you're turning it the way you want it to be, and it sometimes goes against moralities and it goes against human understanding of the nature of how God created this world, really, and everything. So that's, to me, that's a red flag. Whenever I hear or somebody calls me and they send you something in the mail and we're a progressive group. Oh boy, look out, read the fine print, they're progressive. They're probably going to take you down a progressive road that leads away from that of God. We're a progressive church. Sometimes we think like we're on the cutting edge, progressive. We're on the cutting edge, we're doing this, we're doing that. Well, they're on the cutting edge, but a lot of that, I think, in our churches that are progressive, are they're allowing the morality of the world to come into the church and destroy the church from within. We go back. The Word of God tells us a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. One time we did speak about us being the leaven of Christ, leaven going into the world, where we can get into the world and grow and to change the things of the world, you know, through that of Christ. We want to see it on that sphere of things. But we certainly don't want the leaven to come into where the church is at and allow it to develop. When we received Christ as Lord in our lives, it was the beginning of our lives with Christ. For us to continue to follow his leadership through, we need to be rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith. Christ wants to guide us and help us with our daily problems. Amen. Anybody here got daily problems? I got them. For us to live for Christ, we do this by doing the following. And we're going to pick up on that next week to do the following. But what I want to look at as a side note, so when I was reading this and I came to this point of when we receive Christ, this is just a focus here. When we received Christ when we received Christ as Lord in our lives, it was the beginning of our lives with Christ. Okay, and it's living for Christ. Galatians 2:20. What's it say? In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? And here we say, here's our good old friend, you know, Paul, you know, he's in Colossians. Now we jump into Galatians, but he's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer what? I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the thing. As we received Christ, we need to walk like it. We are now no longer our own, it speaks of in the Word. We have been bought with a price. We have a new allegiance. We have come out of what the world would like to do to us, and now we have focused ourselves on the kingship and the kingdomship of that of God. And I don't know exactly what all heaven is going to look like when I get there, but I know he speaks a lot about the kingdom of heaven is here, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is within us, and we are, because of that, we are here to make a difference, and we've been set here for a purpose. Amen? You each have a purpose in this kingdom that we're a part of here, to reflect the things of God into what life is taking place here. to bring some common sense, to bring some wisdom, not our wisdom, not our common sense, God. You know, when you get into maybe a discussion with somebody about some things out there, it's like, wait, you mean whatever that discussion is, sometimes you might be able to show them the difference. Sometimes if they've been so seared and they've drunk the Kool-Aid, they may not see the difference. And, well, all you can do is say, well, hey, have a great day and go on. Amen. Like Jesus did, shake off the dust and go to the next. But try to share those things as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives you those things to share. Because we're going to be amongst them out there. Amen. You're not going to shield yourself. There's been some organizations out there that have tried to shield themselves from that. You know, we got 10 acres. You guys want to make a commune out here or something? You know, we could maybe, you know, put some tents and all that and become our own little thing, you know. But that's not what it's all about, to be a commune and come to yourself, you know, and wait for that star. No, it's to be out there, marching forward, bringing the gospel message into this world, changing lives, having people turn their lives over to that of Christ. Amen. To give them something that we have. Let us close out here. Next week, I want to look at the areas of about three areas as far as to live like that for Christ. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness and your prayers. Keep the church in prayer. Keep Doug in prayer. Keep your church body in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a wonderful opportunity that we have here. And it's to come together, to join together, to see one another on a Sunday, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. Father, I thank you for your word that is ever so true. It's ever so guiding. It's enlightening. It's a big help in our lives today. I pray that we can get deeper into it, Lord. I pray that, yes, Lord, that our root just continues to develop and go, and that, Lord, that our root grows down into you even more as we read your word. I thank you for it. Bless each one here. I want to lift up each one here, Lord. You know what's going on in their lives. And Father, in your way, just touch each one of those areas and bless them abundantly. Give them direction. Give them strength. Give them a peace that passes all understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.